Would you all please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So last Sunday was Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descends upon the church and people begin speaking in other languages and everyone can understand each other. And now we are in the season of Pentecost. So for the next 5 weeks here in worship, our theme is everybody tell somebody. And so today, I have a message for you about how the good news is for everyone. I want to share a story with you about when I was a pastor in Weymouth at the church there. I remember one Sunday, my little friend Emma was very energetic and wiggly in the pews. Now, Emma was about 2 years old at this time. She had beautiful dark brown hair. She often wore little pigtails. She was sitting with her mom and dad in the pews. Her dad was a military vet and didn't often come to church with them, but he was there this Sunday. So this Sunday that I'm talking about, I was preaching, and Emma, being very wiggly, is playing peekaboo with everybody in the congregation. At first, she went down in the pew, then popped up and waved and smiled to Libby, who was sitting in the far back. Now, Libby was the most senior of matriarchs in the church. She sat there with her wig of gray curly hair on her head, and she smiled and waved to Emma. Emma popped back down, and then she popped back up, and she turned forward and waved to Beverly and David, who, of course, giggled and waved back. Now, Emma had the attention of the whole congregation. And even though the congregation was trying their best to pay attention to me as the worship leader, there was no way I could compete with Emma. So, the Spirit moved, and I called Emma, and I said, "Hey, Emma." She looked up. I said, "Come here, will you preach with me?" "Yeah." So she waddled up, and I picked her up and put her on my hip at the pulpit, and we preached the sermon. And I talk around and go on, and I'd say, "Right, Emma?" "Yeah, right." And we did that the whole time. She had that big smile on her face as I picked her up and held her there, and her dad, sitting in the pew, had tears running down his eyes. The good news is for everyone. In our scripture today, it's part of a much larger story about Peter and Cornelius. The story begins, you see, on a coastal city of Caesarea, which is part of the Roman government in Judea. And it had a huge military presence. Cornelius was a centurion of the Roman military, which means he had command over about 100 or so soldiers. So this Gentile, he was a Gentile, he was a military officer, and he was said to be a devout man who feared God and who gave alms generously and prayed constantly. So he's a good guy. And now, if you recall, at this time, the Gentiles, even if they were associated with the synagogue, they could participate in all of the Jewish worship rituals and prayers, and they even gave financially to the synagogue. But in order to be fully Jewish, to convert to Judaism, they had to follow all of the commandments of the laws of Moses, which included circumcision for men. And this was a little bit too far for a lot of the Gentiles. So even if they didn't, if they were not able to completely convert, they were considered unclean, the Gentiles, even though they worshiped and prayed and gave and did all of it. So the Jews weren't allowed to worship with the Gentiles in the synagogues or in the Jewish homes or have meals together. That's a little bit of the backstory. So Peter and Cornelius should not be in each other's houses, should not be having meals together. So one afternoon while Cornelius was praying, remember, he was an upright and righteous man who prayed constantly, he sees a vision. And this vision is of an angel of God, and God's angel tells him to go fetch Peter and bring him back because he has something to tell you. So while Cornelius's men are going out to fetch Peter, because of course Cornelius being a high up guy, he's not going to actually go get him himself. But while his guys go to get Peter, Peter is sitting on a rooftop himself praying. And he has this beautiful vision. A vision of a sheet coming down from heaven with all of these animals on it, both clean and unclean. Ones that were unclean, the Jews, of course, were not supposed to eat. So then Peter hears this voice, and it says, "Peter, get up, kill, and eat." And Peter is shocked. He replies, "By no means, God, for I have never eaten anything that is unclean." The voice speaks to Peter again and says, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." And so this happens three times. And then eventually the sheet goes back up to heaven. So Peter is sitting there trying to make sense of this vision, and Cornelius's men arrive. They tell him about Cornelius's own vision that he needed to fetch Peter and for Peter to go back with them. So Cornelius has all these people gathered when Peter comes with his men, and they want to hear what Peter has to say. But you know what Peter does? He says, "First, I want to hear your story." He listens to Cornelius first. He listens to Cornelius's story, and the meaning of the vision that Peter had comes to light. He believes that God has shown him that no one that God created is unclean, the Gentiles or anyone else. And I quote, he says, "I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another." And then Peter goes on to tell all who are gathered there about the good news. Now, what is the good news? We hear that sometimes, the good news, or maybe you've read the Good News Bible, but what does good news mean? Well, from our UCC website and our UCC denomination, the gospel literally means the good news of God's love revealed with power in Jesus Christ. We proclaim this gospel by word and deed to individual persons and to society. This proclamation is the heart of what the Greek word liturgy means, which is the work of the people. So it's our daily and Sunday worship that we proclaim the good news. So if we as Christians work to proclaim the good news of God's love revealed in Jesus, how do we act and behave to all people so that everyone can feel God's love? To feel that inclusion and that welcomeness? So I have a couple of questions for you to ponder, to think about. Suppose in our worship service, we had a senior member of our community or someone we don't even know come in to worship, and they're confused and they're wandering around because maybe they have memory issues. How would you respond? What would you do? Remembering the good news is for everyone. And what would you do if a couple came in and they're both hoarders and they lack hygiene routines? And oh my goodness, they smell so bad that you can only talk to them for a few minutes before your nose is burning. What if they came into worship? What would you do? Remembering the good news is for everyone. And what would you do if a trans woman came into worship and sat down next to you? Remembering the good news is for everyone. And what would you do if a 2-year-old who was extra wiggly was having a rough day maybe and threw a tantrum? What would you do? Remembering the good news is for everyone. And what would you do if someone with mental challenges was really distracting during worship? Remembering the good news is for everyone. In the words from Scripture from Colossians chapter 3, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, because the good news is for everyone. So our words have power. Our words that we speak aloud and words that we have in our minds, our thoughts, they carry a lot of power. You might even say that our thoughts are our prayers. So I invite you now into a time of a little meditation practice with me. Just a few minutes. So go ahead and kind of find your comfortable seat in the nice hard pew. Or for those at home, maybe you want to sit upright and feel comfortable in your seated position. You can close your eyes or just soften your gaze down your nose on the floor or at something else. Take a deep breath in and then release it. And another inhaling and exhaling. This little meditation is very similar to a metta meditation. And I invite you to repeat to yourself these phrases. May I be peaceful. May I be happy. May I feel God's love. May I be peaceful. May I be happy. May I feel God's love. Directing that love and that kindness towards yourself. May I be peaceful. May I be happy. May I feel God's love. Noticing how you're feeling that love in your body. And I invite you to imagine someone that you love. Maybe a spouse, a sibling, a child, a parent, a dear friend. It could be even more than one person. Imagine this person or these persons and sending them this prayer. May you be peaceful. May you be happy. May you feel God's love. Sending these thoughts, this prayer out to them. May you be peaceful. May you be happy. May you feel God's love. And now, imagining someone or a group of people who you might have difficulty welcoming into your worshiping space, into your community, for whatever reason. Maybe it's your innate biases that get in the way, or whatever it might be. Imagine these people that you might have a little difficulty with, and send the same love and kindness to them, saying, may you be peaceful. May you be happy. May you feel God's love. May you be peaceful. May you be happy. May you feel God's love. Knowing that just sending these words, these prayers out, that you are creating a more welcoming and inviting presence, that you are sharing the good news. May you be peaceful. May you be happy. May you feel God's love. And then taking another inhale and exhale, and coming back into our worshiping space together. Emma was so adorable. at that church in Weymouth. And one of the people that she was engaging with that day was one of the matriarchs of the church. Her name was Judy. And Judy's favorite hymn is "God of the Sparrow, God of the Whale." And the composer of this hymn, he sought to compose a hymn text that would provide answers from the users of the hymn as to why and how God's creatures and children are to serve God. The law of God, he writes, demands perfect love from every creature, the love of God and the love and the gospel coexisting with a response to a living expression of gratitude. So friends, will you join us now in singing "God of the Sparrow and God of the Whale," which is number 70 in the hymnal as well. It will be on our screen. And may you remember, the good news is for everyone. Amen.